Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week in more than 112 countries worldwide over the internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on heavy metals when we come back. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. Surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity from bank deposits to medical visits has produced greater efficiency and security, all right. But it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. Our federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every single American. Now, that's according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. And closer to home, our state and local governments use computers to keep their own files on us. And a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems. Those systems contained 10,799 categories of information about New York residents. And every one of those systems contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, information about you is gained from 63 sources, and this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how your government, your banks and insurance companies, business and industry obtains all of this information about you? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for anyway? Well, knowing how this information is gathered and what information is being stored and what information you want to keep personal and private actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, if you'd like more information about privacy and privacy issues, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. And let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and just as private as you want to be. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. Just call us at 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, send us an email. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send us an email request. Remember, again, that's georgegordon.org or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about heavy metals, heavy metal toxicity. Aluminum is where we started our story. We've got up to mercury. There's 20 of these metals. I've mentioned them. There are five very common heavy metals that are poisoning us. And we get them from very common sources. Vaccines are the most common source of mercury toxicity, and it has a tremendous effect, especially on children. There's a second source that we get. Listen to this. If you have received five consecutive flu shots over the past 5 years, your chances of ending up with Alzheimer's disease goes up by 10 times. 10 times. That's your chance. Now, you may have had flu shots for a number of years, and then you could live your life and die in a truck wreck, and Alzheimer's won't have anything to do with your demise. But the fact that statistically we can draw a correlation between flu shots and Alzheimer's disease ought to send us a pretty clear and concise message that there's something about flu shots. Is it the vaccine that causes the Alzheimer's, or is it something that's in the vaccine? All right, now get this. Your flu vaccine has thimerosal in it. Thimerosal. Remember, that's the preservative that we put in these vaccines to lengthen or to keep their shelf life, you know, from expiring. All right, now, if there's a connecting link now between autism and thimerosal, which we reported last time, and flu shots and thimerosal, it ought to send us a pretty strong, pretty clear message. You know, the other day I had a lady say, I won't believe it unless I see a report from Johns Hopkins University or some similar authority. And there's certain people out there that can't be helped, and I'm not here to convince you that I'm right. I'm not here to argue with you and try to persuade you to stop giving shots to your children. I don't care whether you give your kid Alzheimer's disease or autism. I don't care whether you get a flu shot this year or not. It's not going to affect me one way or the other. But as an investigative reporter, I make my living reporting on these odd events. I take a subject, and then I say, hey, that's kind of interesting. Let's go chase that out and find out where that leads. That's why you watch 60 Minutes and Dateline or 2020. You're curious to know, gee, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was going on. How long has that been going on? And so we watch and we listen to the story, and then the story unfolds, and we say, God, what an injustice. Now, the judicial system has its flaws. The medical system has its flaws. Not everything in medicine is bad. and we're not here reporting on medicine and telling you you shouldn't go to the doctor, you shouldn't participate in medicine or medical science. There's a lot of things that came out of medicine. In fact, of the 14 cancer cures that I've reported on in the past, most of those 14 cancer cures came from allopathic medicine. Now, the tragedy of it is that they have been buried for profit. And that's because, as an illustration, let's take chelation. Chelation was discovered back in 1964. And guess where? At Johns Hopkins University. And so the people at Johns Hopkins are not bad guys that are doing bad science. They're good guys that do good science. And then after they've made their discovery, and it should come out here into the marketplace and should benefit all of us, they take a look at it and they evaluate it. And they say, well, geez, how are we going to keep that secret? How are we going to bury that? And that's because chelation clears the plaque out of your arteries. Chelation will clear the plaque out of your arteries. So if you're contemplating bypass surgery, for instance, and it makes, I forgot how much money it makes now. It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars a year. It ranks right up there with cancer. Maybe, in fact, it might even be a bigger moneymaker than cancer. Heart disease kills more people than cancer by about 50%. And my guess is that it probably makes more money too. But they took a look at it and they said, no, look, what we want to sell here, what we're trying to sell is bypass surgery. Because the average bypass surgery costs about $100,000. And the average chelation treatment, which takes about 6 weeks to go through, that only costs about $1,000. About 1%. Now, as you and I listen to the story here, we say, no, I've got to spend $100,000. If you have medical insurance, you don't care whether it's $100,000 or $100 million or $100. It's irrelevant. But you know, not everybody has health insurance, and 47 million people, you know, they're complaining, well, I don't have any health insurance. And now your political candidates are telling you, well, we got to give you health insurance. Personally, I avoid health insurance like AIDS, herpes, and VD, but that's just me. And that's because I know about chelation. And if I thought my arteries were plugged up, and if I had a cardiovascular problem and somebody said to me, you need bypass surgery, you know, I would avoid bypass. And I'd go get chelation. It cost me 1%. And for that 1% of the bypass surgery, and instead of being an invalid for the rest of my life, which is what bypass surgery does to you, it turns you into an invalid. I mean, if you think you're going out in the golf links and you're going out here and live your life like you have in the past, you know, you got another guest coming. So it's time to wake up to reality. It's a guardian ward relationship in which you turn into a cash cow for the rest of your life. It's like insulin and diabetes. Those are cash cows. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, the same thing is going on here with these heavy metals. Now, one of two things, based upon the report that I've given you so far, would you conclude that, well, the good people at the Center for Disease Control, they just don't know about this yet? Or the good folks here at the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Agriculture, the National Institutes of Health, they just aren't informed yet. The Congress needs to be informed. We need to write letters, you know, and we need to get these people informed. If we can just get out here and teach these people, if we can just organize a march, then everything's going to be fine. You've been watching Mr. Rogers too long. I mean, if you believe that, you know, you belong with Sesame Street and Barney. The truth of the matter is that all of these people know everything that I have reported to you so far and more. More. And they have deliberately obfuscated the issues and hidden the research information and said, well, we just can't know. And so here's where they hide. They say, well, heart disease is an incurable ailment, and we just don't know what causes it, and cancer. It's incurable, and we just don't know what to do about cancer. Just keep marching more and sending more money in, and we'll just keep looking for an answer to it. And then there's Alzheimer's. Well, we don't know what causes Alzheimer's, and we don't know how to cure it. We don't have any cure for diabetes either, but, you know, just keep sending your money in, and we'll keep searching for an answer. Now, the truth of the matter is that there's an answer, too. There's a cure for all of these major diseases. There's a cure for all of them. And the cures have already been discovered. Most of these cures were discovered by the medical professions, and some of them even at Johns Hopkins University. And that's the tragedy of it. Because, like heart disease, there's no money in chelation. The money, boys and girls, in diabetes is in selling you insulin. That's where the money's at. The money, boys and girls, in vaccines, you know, is at the pediatrician's office and giving you more of them. The reason you've got 35 shots for your kid isn't because that there's some medical crisis out here and that we need to get these vaccines here to prevent this medical crisis. Hell, there isn't any polio crisis. There are 79, on average, 79 polio cases in the United States reported every year, and all 79 of them are caused by the vaccine. You want to give your kid polio, the best way to do it is give him a polio shot. Now, somebody ought to tell you, I guess, somebody ought to report this to you and say, hey, listen, if that's what you want to do, get after it. I'm not here to tell you not to. I'm just here to report to you that it's a waste of your time, effort, and energy, and probably is going to cause you some grief in the end. Now, as it relates to autism, as we've seen already, the autism problem over here is caused by thimerosal. And if it isn't caused by thimerosal, by golly, can you come up with a better excuse? Or can the people at the CDC explain to us why it is that they just don't go take a look at some other group of people in China or Nepal or in the Amazon jungle and ask the question, well, how many of these people have autism? What kind of a problem are you having down here in Brazil from autism among this group of people that are not vaccinated? And then come back to the United States and ask the same question, because that's what they did with cancer and Laetrile. You know, they got to looking around and said, gee, we don't know what causes cancer. And so it was medical. It's medical. It's not lay people like me that find these discoveries. It's the medical profession. Some doctor, you know, trained in the university, spent his internship, you know, in some hospital someplace. He goes over to Nepal and takes a look at people living over there, and he says, gee, you people don't have any cancer. And they look at him and say, cancer? What's that? So he analyzes their diet and finds out that these people eat an awful lot of peach pits. They eat a lot of apricots, a lot of apricot trees. And then they take the pits and break them open and eat the kernels inside. So he brings it back to his laboratory, goes to work on it, and he finds that's clear back in 1950 now. And this isn't something new that we just discovered last week, you know, in the Clinton administration or George Bush. No, this was clear back in the 1950s, like that oil find that they just revealed up here, 500 billion barrels of oil in North Dakota. Hell, that's enough to run this country, you know, for the next 80 years. Don't have to buy a barrel of oil from the Saudis. No, you're not going to have that oil field developed. And that oil field was discovered in 1951, boys and girls. So it isn't something that Exxon or Shell or the big oil companies didn't know anything about. It isn't drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It's up in North Dakota. I mean, come on, let's wake up. Pay attention. Now, there's a reason why all of these events transpire. And in the case of oil, it's if you were to develop the oil field up in North Dakota, it'll have a depressing effect on the price of oil. You can't sell oil for $5 a gallon when you've got billions of barrels of it gushing out of the ground in North Dakota. Come on, let's wake up. The same thing is true with bypass surgery. Now, if you use chelation, you can't sell $100,000 operations. Now, when it comes to thimerosal in the vaccines, it isn't needed. It isn't needed at all. But you can't take it out now because there is so much hullabaloo about thimerosal in the vaccines. If you took it out and the autism rate goes down, which is what happened in California, the genie is about to escape from the jar. They banned it in California. The autism rate's gone down dramatically in California. And so pretty soon, you know, the story's going to come out. Oh, my God. That's what happened in Japan. I reported it to you last time. They postponed the vaccination regimen in Japan from 2 months. Instead of taking your baby in at age 2 months to start shooting him up with thimerosal in his vaccines, they postponed it to 2 years. And sudden infant death syndrome dropped by 50%. And I said in the last program, I said, you want to eliminate sudden infant death syndrome in Japan, you eliminate the vaccination program and it'll solve your problem. Now, evidently, people do not want to eliminate that vaccination program and they don't want to eliminate sudden infant death syndrome. I guess they feel good walking, oh, we just don't know why it happened to us. The reason you don't know why is because you got your head buried in Oprah and Dr. Phil. You're not paying attention to the literature, not paying attention to the information that's already out there. You know, it's one thing to say, well, we're ignorant, we don't know what the cause of cancer is. Something else to be willingly ignorant. And that's where we are here in the United States, and primarily worldwide, we are willingly ignorant. Now, here are the five common toxic metals that you need to avoid. Lead, put it right at the top of the list. I'd kind of suspect that maybe lead ought to be number two. Mercury, number two. Arsenic is number three. Chromium is number four. See, that's lead, mercury, arsenic, and chromium. That's four. I'll have to look here a little bit deeper and find the fifth one over here. Aluminum. Now, aluminum is not a heavy metal. They list it here in the heavy metals or metal toxicity program here, but actually, if you look at it, it's not got a density that's five times greater than water. But it's a deadly toxin, this aluminum is. And so keep in mind now that based upon my report, that these metals are common, they're pervasive, they're everywhere, and that's the bad news. Now, the good news is there's a solution to the problem. That's the good news. And the solution I reported from Acres USA, I'm going to give you that report one more time here. In fact, I might even do it twice. For us little bottom feeders down here, we got to have a solution. You can rest assured that the FDA, the CDC, the Department of Agriculture, and the Congress of the United States are not going to take these heavy metals. Nobody's going to get excited about aluminum in your baking powder and pass a law next year that prohibits the baking powder industry from putting aluminum into the baking powder to keep it from caking. That's not going to happen. The good news is you can buy baking powder that does not have alum, does not have aluminum in it. And if you're using your head, then the solution to that problem is, well, let's just make sure that when we buy things that we look at the labels, and then if it's got this bad stuff in it, like buffered aspirin. Okay, if you're going to take aspirin, that's fine. That's bad for you. But if you're going to take aspirin, be sure that it's not buffered aspirin. Because if it's buffered and you take 10 a day, it'll kill you. Now, it may well be that it's not the aspirin that's the problem. It may well be that it's the aluminum that's in the aspirin. Anyway, Acres USA is located in Austin, Texas. And they put out a publication once a month. It's an agricultural publication, but it has a number of other interesting articles that deal with all kinds of things like health and the economy and money and one thing and another. So I think it's well worth it. I mean, if you live in downtown New York City and you're sitting there saying, well, I don't think I want to buy Acres USA because I'm a city dweller. Oh, I think that's a mistake. I think acres is well worth the money, no matter where you live, no matter what country. I mean, if you're in Australia, unless you've got a publication in Australia that's comparable to acres, you know, and there's a lot of newsletters out there, and I subscribe to a number of them, and I don't subscribe to every newsletter. I don't have enough money to do that, but I subscribe to three. And I don't subscribe to my local USA Today or these local newspapers like the Idaho Statesman and so on. I used to years ago, but there's nothing in it except that, you know, propaganda. I can hell and get that from Oprah. And when I want to get propagandized, you know, I go to the boob tube and sit down and watch Judge Judy to be entertained. Here's the phone number. It's 512, and the number is 892-4400. That's 512-892-4400. And you're looking for the June 2008 issue. Now it's $5, $5. And I'll give you the formula. It's kind of long and involved here, so I'm not going to repeat it. I've already put it on the air once, and I gave you that information. You can't, driving down the highway anyway, you can't remember it, and you can't write it down. So if you're interested in getting the heavy toxic metals out of your body, they're already in there, Bob, Sally. They're already in your body. I don't care if you're living in South Korea or Japan, or you're living in California, Washington, or Oregon, or Australia, or Canada, you already got the heavy metals in there. Now the question is, well, can I get them out? And the answer is yes, you can. And the sooner you do that, the better, in my view, because I'm not sure that you can wait until your autism is developed and then take the mercury out of your child. Now, you can get the mercury out of your child, and I've seen some reports here that are pretty positive. You got a kid with autism, get the mercury out of him, his autism will improve. Now, that's what I've seen so far. How do you get the metal out of him? It's called chelation. You can do it orally with herbs, foods, nuts. Or you can do it with a medical doctor. I mean, if you're wedded to the medical profession, then look for a medical specialist that deals in chelation. Spelled C-H-E-A-L-A-T-I-O-N, I believe it is. Chelation. There's not many of them. Not many. You'll have to go to a major city. They had one here in Springfield, Missouri, population 150,000. Typically, you'll find one, maybe two, in a place like St. Louis, Missouri, or Kansas City. Here in Missouri, we got three that I know of. If you're in California, you'll have to go to some place, you know, like Sacramento, California, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco. You're not going to find it out here in some little podunk town in Alturas, California. They're not going to be there. So you're going to have to do some traveling. You're going to have to do some looking. But if you find it and you want to get the metals out, chelation will do it. You can go to a doctor and have them do it, but it just costs you more money. But the Acres people here, that number again, now Acres, USA. Telephone number is 512-892-4400. Acres, Austin, Texas. All right, now let me get into a little more meat here. There's a story here I got to report to you on Thimerosal. And it's called The Crisis, and it's put out by the Life Enthusiast Co-op, and Crisis in Medical and Dental Science. In children, there are many unexplained deaths that are classified as either sudden infant death syndrome, called SIDS, or shaken baby syndrome, where the last thing medical officials concede is the possibility that mercury and other toxins in the vaccines are the cause. Thus, there are other deaths that can be laid at the feet of the medical profession that are not counted in the above statistics. And this is the most controversial because we have many areas where deaths are not considered iatrogenic. Iatrogenic, I'll pause right there. That iatrogenic means that your doctor caused the disease. Iatrogenic disease, that's doctor-induced disease. The doctor gave you the wrong drug and killed you. The doctor gave you the wrong drug and caused you this illness. Now, notably, the high toxicity of chemotherapy and antiviral medication caused many deaths that are not counted, since death is always attributed to the disease, not to the highly dangerous treatment protocols. Pretty important statement there. I had an old buddy one time. He's dead now, but he contracted cancer. And old Rich, Richard was his name. He's kind of a wild card, old Rich was. And he got cancer, and you know, normal people would go to the doctor and get chemotherapy and one thing and another. Old Rich, he said, no, I don't think I'll do anything. He smoked, he drank, he lived his life, he had a good time. And he just kept on smoking and drinking and living a good time, and he finally died, but it took 6 years. Now, had he gone in for chemotherapy, I'm sure they would have killed him, you know, in about 18 months. That's normal. The average lifespan of somebody that's diagnosed with cancer is 18 months. Now, the cure, 37%. 37%. Now, that's the way they call a cure. If you don't die in 5 years, they call it a cure. So from the time you're diagnosed, if 5 years goes by under chemotherapy and you're being treated and you don't die for 5 years, they call that a cure. If you die at 5 years and 1 month, well, then you were cured, but you had a relapse. Or I don't know exactly how they count that. But now, Rich lived for 6 years, never did anything, never spent a dime on cancer therapy, or Jack Diddley Squat lived for 6 years, and he finally died from cancer. Now, had Rich known the answer to the riddle, he could have cured that cancer. Could have cured it. He didn't know, but he didn't call me and ask, so I didn't tell him either. And so if you don't call and don't ask, I'm not going to tell you. But there's 14 of these cures for cancer. Now, get this, the day you die, when you've got cancer, the day you die, they're going to say, well, he died from cancer. They're not going to say, oh, he died from the chemotherapy. That isn't ever going to be on anybody's death certificate. Now, that's a cover-up, but it's a logical cover-up. I mean, you know, you walk in and you've got heart disease, and so they put you on medication. One day you have a second heart attack and you die. Well, he died from heart failure. They don't say, well, it's this drug over here that we gave you. Now, they've pulled two drugs off the market in recent years. I say recent years, in the last 20. In the last 20 years, two big drugs came off the market because they were actually causing heart attack. Not a single one of those persons, although they collected a lot of money. I mean, you know, they sue and then they collect them. And so when it's all said and done, they don't come back and say, well, the guy died over here and he died from this drug. No, that's not going to happen. They say, well, he died, and he died from cardiovascular disease, heart failure, or something else. That was the reason that you came in to get the drug in the first place. Had you done nothing at all, the drug then wouldn't have killed you, and you would have, in fact, died, but you wouldn't have, in fact, died from a heart attack. So we've got a problem here in reporting failure, but there's another failure. A great factor to consider also in counting iatrogenic deaths is the fact that many iatrogenic death and diseases go unreported. Now, the Food and Drug Administration and the American College of Physicians and Surgeons believe the majority of adverse drug or surgical events never get reported because doctors are afraid they'll get sued if they report an error. And they're exactly right. If they report an error, for instance, if a doctor cuts out the left lung but he was supposed to cut out the right lung, he's not going to report that unless he gets caught. Because if he reports that he cut out the wrong lung, well, then he's going to get prosecuted. He's going to get sued for malpractice, and he knows that. And so that's why doctors carry malpractice insurance. That's because they make mistakes. Doctors make mistakes. And you'll be surprised at how many mistakes they make. It's about 300,000 mistakes a year that kill 300,000 people. They make 2 million mistakes a year, but they don't kill 2 million people. They only kill 300,000. The other 1,700,000 survive. They've got debilitating diseases, or they got some bad problems that come out of it, but they don't all die. Now, the FDA and the American College of Physicians and Surgeons are telling you that they're afraid that they're going to get sued for medical error. And according to Dr. David Kessler, former head of the Food and Drug Administration, only about 1% of serious events, that's adverse drug reactions, are ever reported. Now, if I came to you and I said, listen, 99% of the adverse effects that you get from vaccines and drugs are never reported, you'd say, well, who in the hell are you? What in the hell do you know? You'd be exactly right. I don't know Jack Diddley Squad, as I'm reporting here. You know, Will Rogers said, all I know is what I read in the papers. This is what they admit to. Listen to this guy here. This is the former head of the Food and Drug Administration. I mean, this is the head honcho himself. Here's the boss of the agency. He says about 1% are reported. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say, well, suppose they're reporting 10%. Well, let me ask you this. If the airline industry reported 10% of their crashes and didn't report on 90%, what would you think of that? I mean, let's be intelligent people here. Obviously, there's a cover-up going on here, isn't there? There are laws that require that you report. Doctors don't report them because they're going to get sued. Then who in the hell is going to report the doctor? Who in the hell is going to know? Nobody. You go to the doctor, and he advises you to take this drug. You take the drug, it kills you. Well, who in the hell knows what it was that killed you? You have to perform an autopsy to find out. And the guy that's going to do the autopsy, that's not going to be your local plumber, carpenter, electrician. That's going to be some guy that's a doctor, and that's going to be another one of the medical professions. So it's all going to get buried, kind of like the lawyers. Lawyers do not sue other lawyers for malpractice. And I've been in this business for 25 years, and I've never seen a malpractice suit reported. 25 years. I teach law. I run a law school. I've never seen one. There are some in the literature. I've heard of some malpractice cases. And I've heard that there's one or two lawyers in America that specialize in legal malpractice. I've heard that. It's a rumor. I haven't seen it. I don't know of it firsthand. I haven't seen any cases in the literature. I've never seen a Supreme Court decision on malpractice. All 9 members of the U.S. Supreme Court are lawyers. Now, it's going to be an outsider. If there's going to be any whistleblowing that goes on here, it's going to be from some outsider. Or, occasionally, there's an insider who will report on what's going on. These are called whistleblowers. And they're about as popular as aides at an office Christmas party, you know. Now, the general rule of thumb presently used, though, is between 10% to 20% of serious events getting reported. So the rule of thumb is that a maximum of 20% of adverse effects get reported. That means 80% don't. So 80% then are being covered up. All right, now let's try this. They admit that they're killing 300,000. We got adverse events, and there's 300,000. Well, if they're only reporting 20%, we give them the benefit of the doubt. And remember, I'm taking their numbers now. I'm not adding anything to this. I'm just taking the numbers that I get from the official agencies over here, and they lie constantly. And nobody is going to report, you know, more. I mean, you couldn't expect them to come along and say, well, you know, we're killing 150,000, but we're reporting 300,000. We're going to report twice as many. Hell, they're going to report half as many. Just common sense tell you that. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar here. But, you know, if 300,000 is the number, I'll plug it in, 300,000, and 80%, let's just go times 0.80. then there's another 240,000 that they're not reporting. Go totally unreported. Which is exactly what Gary Null's reporting. Now, if you want to take a look at the other side of the coin over here, no, these aren't the numbers from Johns Hopkins, you know, lady. But from the Food and Drug Administration, from the CDC, and from the authorities over here, they're telling you that, we're not reporting all the numbers. The head of the FDA says that only about 1% of serious events, adverse drug reactions, are reported to the FDA. 1%. Now, they take that and they say, well, now that's the real number, but the general rule of thumb is that we report 10 to 20%. Well, we come out and we tell you that, about 20% are being reported. Now, one of two things is going on, a cover-up or incompetence, one or the other. If the Federal Aviation Agency missed 80% of the plane crashes and didn't report on them, what would you say about that? I mean, come on, let's wake up and smell the coffee here, kids. There's a cover-up going on here. It's both. It isn't just incompetence. It's incompetence coupled with a cover-up. And I'm not so sure that there's very much incompetence involved here. The people that run the Food and Drug Administration, I mean, these people are medical doctors. These people all have been to college. They've got letters after their names. These people have whole cadres of lawyers that work in their agency over here to advise them on the legal ramifications of their decisions and comments and their public statements. These are very intelligent, very articulate people. These people are not dumb. They're not incompetent people at all. I don't subscribe to this incompetence thing at all. But the avarice that goes on, the cover-ups, the lying and the chicanery over here, no, that makes all the sense in the world. Vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear are the five motivators of human nature, and it also works for people that work in the professions. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here. I'm over time. I got to give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in more than 112 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed here by the Law Hour and editorial review either. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or local radio station. And if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about heavy metal toxicity. Heavy metals. Now, specifically, there's a cover-up going on. And a lot of times when you make a report, people are incredulous, and maybe rightfully so. They say, oh, my God, I can't believe that another human being would do this to us or do this to me. And the answer is, yes, they would. And yes, they are, and they do it every day, and they make money off of it. Now, your local doctor probably would not give you a shot or a vaccine and knowingly kill you. I don't know of any doctors. There are a few. Once in a while, you'll find some doctor or a nurse working in a healthcare facility that you read about and you hear about on 60 Minutes or something that is killing patients, murdering them. But our doctors are murdering us, but they're doing it for profit, and they do it over a long period of time. I kind of liken it to the spider. A spider catches a fly, trusses him up. He doesn't kill the fly. He just leaves the fly alive, trussed up. And he comes by and he feeds on this fly every once in a while. He comes by and he feeds on him. And then finally the fly dies, and then, of course, the spider, then he kicks that dead body out and repairs the hole in his web, and he waits for another victim to come by. Well, doctors need live patients. Dead patients don't support the medical profession. The doctor is not killing you intentionally. He needs to keep you alive. And the longer you're alive, then the longer you are a cash cow. And you just take a look at somebody with diabetes, that'll keep those cash cows going for years and years and years. Now, ultimately, these people die from their diseases. They don't live to be 75, 80, or 90 years old. They usually die, sometime earlier than 70. Now, it might be fair to just multiply by about 20, scaling the population's percentages, yielding about 15 million deaths or 120 jumbo jets falling per day instead of six. The international numbers could be a magnitude order higher due to the special factors and considerations. So what I'm reporting here to you for you people living around the world, just the United States. But you can rest assured, if you're living in Australia or New Zealand or Canada or Europe, do you think that your medical professions over there are much better than ours, or that their allopathic medical procedures over there are much different than ours? In most places, they're not as degenerate as we here in the United States are, but then that doesn't mean that it's non-existent. It doesn't mean that you people over there are safe. It just means that you're not at quite the risk that we are here in the States. The production of disease by the prescriptions of physicians is what is usually meant by iatrogenic disease. Iatrogenic, that's spelled I-A-T-R-O-G-E-N-I-C. Iatrogenic disease is more difficult to count, but the specific case of mercury poisoning gives us a window into the hidden dimensions of what is a medical nightmare in progress. Despite the growing evidence to a causal link between mercury and neurological disorders, that's nervous system disorders, such as autism, attention deficit disorder, language delay, and learning difficulties, which are being reported on a worldwide basis to be rising dramatically. The Institute of Medicine and the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, and a long string of other medical organizations are certifying mercury, one of the most toxic chemicals known to man, as being safe for use in vaccines. And so the big institutions, the CDC and the FDA, say, well, that stuff's perfectly safe in your vaccine. Well, that's exactly what the legal department advised them. You stick right with it. The dentists, they're going to keep putting mercury in your mouth. Because if at any time they said, well, we're going to take mercury out of our schedule, it's an admission that you knew or you should have known. So what they're pleading here is ignorance. Well, we didn't know. Well, we didn't know. Well, if that's true, then they're incompetent. Hell, I'm a crummy plumber, and I know. And I just reported it to you, and now you know. Now, for us to sit here, you know, as plumbers and truck drivers and housewives, and say, well, we know now, but the CDC and the AMA, they don't? Come on, wake up. Pay attention here. And then they continue to do that even as they alert the public to a pandemic that has one child in 166 being diagnosed with autism. Now, that one in 166 was a few years ago. The latest numbers out, I just saw this the other day, it was on Katie Kirk. I mean, if you can't believe Katie, who can you believe? Katie Kirk, one in 68. Now, remember, about 1970, I believe it was the number, it was 1970, it was 1 in 10,000. 1 in 10,000 children got autism. Now, that's 40 years ago. Now, it has degenerated to us 1 in 68. Now, cancer was that way. I can remember as a kid, 1950, 1 in 5 would expect to get cancer. In 1900, it was 1 in 33. 50 years later, it was 1 in 5. Today, it's 1 in 2. That is, just the two of us here in the room, one of us is going to come down with cancer. In fact, I'm already that one. I've already had two cancers, skin cancers on me that I took off, and I got a lump in my jaw. I suspect that that's cancer. So, you know, maybe you won't get it, Bob, but I already did. So, you know, I'm one of the unlucky guys. The difference is that I'm not going to run off to the doctor and get chemotherapy now. Hell, I know that's a killer. So there's 14 cures to cancer. Let me see if I can, like Rich Michael, if I don't do anything, if I just leave it alone, I'm going to live for six more years, which ought to take me up to about the average lifespan. And if I do something intelligent for it, you know, I mean, you got a lump here, and so you say, well, I got this lump. Well, that's a tumor. Is it malignant or not? Well, if it's continually getting bigger, well, then it's probably malignant, isn't it? So then let's do something intelligent. You know, we got a vitamin B17 deficiency, and so what does the FDA do? They ban vitamin B17. They ban peach pits, for crying out loud. Fortunately, they haven't banned apricots yet. So if you put your mind to it, kids, you know, if push ever comes to shove, you go to the local Kroger's and you pick out 5 pounds of apricots and you take them home. You take the apricots off the pits and throw them away and break the seeds open and get the kernel out of it and grind that up real fine, stick it in your strawberry milkshake and drink it down, and you'll get the vitamin B17 that you need naturally. Of course, that makes you a criminal now, huh? Because you've got one of these banned drugs. I mean, it's like getting heroin. I mean, I think it's easier to get heroin, cocaine, and marijuana in this country than it is to get vitamin B17 or bloodroot. What's going on? One in 166 now is being diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders, and as many as one in six children diagnosed with a developmental disorder and or with behavioral problems. Okay, now all of these kids with behavioral problems, they get money from the federal government. So if you're a principal of a school, and let's say you got 100 kids here in your school, or a little school over here at Lutie, and they're just 100 normal kids. You're going to get $56 a day for each kid. That's $5,600 a day is what we're going to spend on their education. Now, if you could diagnose one of those children in there with ADD, you get another $56. It's not quite 56, but it's 50. So now you get $5,650. All right, now if you had two kids in here, you could get $5,700 a day. two kids with ADD out of your 100. Can you see, boys and girls, why it is that your school officials, your school nurse, why your school principal wants to diagnose your kid with ADD? So first of all, they say, your kid over here is disruptive in school. We think he's got attention deficit disorder, and you need to have him taken in and diagnosed. Now, you take him into the doctor, and the kid's jumping around and one thing and another. What his real problem is, you fed him so much sugar. I mean, this kid's sucking down Dr. Pepper, you know, like it's water. And this kid's hyperactive because of his sugar imbalance, which ultimately is going to turn into diabetes, which is another cash cow, but it's for another group. But now, the doctor, if he says, there's nothing wrong with your kid, take him off sugar and he'll be fine. Hell, there's no money in that. There's no money there. Doctors, you know, they're people just like you and me. Let's suppose you come in, like the other day we went into the store and we were looking for a freezer. And does the guy now in the furniture store say, well, you know, if you would manage the two freezers that you've got, you probably wouldn't need a third one. Hell no, he's in the business of selling freezers. He says, oh, you've already got two freezers. Well, wise choice. Everybody needs a third freezer. Like, you know, you need two or three thumbs, you know, on your left hand. I can remember as a kid, hell, when I was growing up, we didn't even have a damn refrigerator, for crying out loud. And we lived our lives without a refrigerator. And then my granny, after World War II, she got a refrigerator, and it had this separate freezer compartment up on the top, which was, I don't know, it was as wide as the refrigerator, and it wasn't 18 inches high. You know, and what is it? You know, if it was 18 inches by 3 feet wide, which it wasn't 3 feet, hell, it went through the doors, and the doors are only 30 or 32 inches. So here's this refrigerator. Maybe it's got 3-4 cubic feet freezer on the top. Oh, my God, my grandmother thought she was an hog heaven. She had a freezer. And then somebody woke up one day and said, well, we need to have a separate appliance over here called a freezer. And so then we bought these freezers, and then we filled this freezer up with frozen food. You know, the theory behind that was you could go to the store and you could buy up when it was cheap and load up your freezer, and then you could be eating this hamburger, you know, when it's 39 cents a pound. You can be eating your 29 cent a pound hamburger over here, even though all of this expense and the cost of running it and one thing and another is costing you 49 cents a pound for the hamburger that you're buying anyway. At 29 cents, cost you 10 cents a pound more than if you bought it fresh every day. But, you know, that being a, you know, another aside, then pretty soon we got two freezers, and now we got three. And they're all full, and there isn't any room in any of them to put anything. And the stuff's been in there since 1969. All right, so the doctor over here, you know, doctors are salesmen. Doctors are over here selling ADD. School nurses and school principals are selling ADD. Your kid's problem is sugar. Sugar, that's what his problem is. Take him off sugar and he won't have that problem. But if you do that, you're going to be costing them $50 a day. The principal, if he had his druthers, would have all 100 students in his school on medication. Diagnosed with ADD, because instead of $5,600 or $56 a day, he'd be getting $100 a day for each kid. See where we're going here with this? And the doctors love it. Every kid that comes in there, hey, my kid's jumping up and down and hooting and hollering. Hell, we used to call that youth. Now we got to drug our children, you know, so that they're zombies. Then we wonder why these kids can't learn, why this kid can't read his diploma. All right, now this is iatrogenic. This is caused by doctors. This means that out of 4 million born every year in the United States, approximately 24,000 will be devastated with autism, whose cause is being increasing, blamed on mercury poisoning. And perhaps as many as 600,000 children with mild to severe learning disorders, which in part or in whole caused by the neurological destruction of brain cells that mercury is proven to precipitate. Pause. Remember I said to you the other day, I don't think I would go ahead and take these vaccines now with the thimerosal in them, because it destroys the brain cells. Now, how many brain cells can you destroy? I don't know. One seems like to me it'd be more than enough. Seems like to me that I need every brain cell I can get a hold of. I'm dumb enough as it is. I don't see any reason for destroying any more brain cells than is absolutely necessary. They're probably dying off fast enough just without putting any mercury in there to start with. Now, the point is that we've all been poisoned, whether we like it or not, and we're being poisoned every day. All right, so why don't we start making a conscious effort to stop the poisoning? Congress isn't going to do it. The CDC isn't going to do it. Food and Drug isn't going to do it. Your doctor isn't going to do it. And hell, your school principal isn't going to do it. These people all know that this heavy metal poisoning is going on. Or if they don't know, they knew or they should have known. That's what I would be alleging if I was suing the bastard. I would say, you knew or you should have known. Now, according to Dr. Mark Geer, who has studied the CDC's own data, kids who receive 100 micrograms of thimerosal were over 10 times more likely to have autism. All right, now watch this. Pay attention here. Here's Dr. Geer now. He studied the CDC's own data. Dr. Geer did not go out and create this data off the top of his head. He went to the Center for Disease Control and took their numbers. My God, if you can't believe the CDC, who can you believe? If you can't trust your banker, who can you trust? If you can't believe Katie Couric, who can you believe? Now, this lady the other day said, she didn't believe me. She said, I won't believe it unless I get it from Johns Hopkins. Hell, where do you think Johns Hopkins are getting their numbers? They're getting it from the CDC or the FDA. Now, they lie a lot. But you can be pretty safe. You know, if you take these CDC numbers, you can just about bet that the numbers aren't correct, but they're going to be skewered in one direction to benefit the medical profession. They're not going to tell you the true numbers, but they're going to tell you, you know, they're not going to say to you, well, doctors are causing all of this iatrogenic disease over here, and they're only reporting 1% of it. They'll say, well, they're reporting 20%. Boys and girls, if the doctors are reporting 20%, that's like Murder Incorporated saying, well, you know, I'm only killing 5 people a month. I used to kill 10. Boys and girls, murder is against the law, whether you kill 1 or 100. Adolf Hitler isn't going to pay any greater penalty than some guy that just killed his wife because he was mad at her. And the death penalty is the death penalty, whether you kill 1 or 100. So whether it's 1% or 20%, you know, it's still a crime. You're supposed to report all of these adverse reactions, doctors, and you're not doing it. And you're not doing it because you don't want to get sued, and I don't blame you. Hell, if I was your lawyer, I'd tell you not to report it also. That would be my duty as a lawyer. That's why I'm not a lawyer. That's why I try to stay out of the lawyering businesses, because they're criminals. Lawyers are criminals. Doctors are criminals. Let's face reality. And the people that run the CDC and the people that are running the FDA are doctors. What's that tell you? So our problem is that we've got a bunch of criminals in charge of our governmental apparatus, a bunch of criminals in charge of our medical profession, and then we wonder why we've got death and destruction. Hell, I think we'd do better if we were dealing with the mafia. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults in compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives and can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.